Welcome to another episode of Science to Business. We're on location today. This is Gary Riccio. Unfortunately, Nathan Roman is not here with me today. He's actually working. One of us has to work. But today, we thought we'd try something a little bit different. You know, in the last episode, I talked with Nathan about his sports psychology practice and his background. And I thought today we'd go out on location. We're going to try to do a lot more shows on location because it just makes it, you know, point that we're doing science in the wild here. You know, we're outside the laboratory where science actually makes a difference. And today my guest is going to be Jeff McCarthy, who is actually my personal trainer at Rockin' Fitness. Jeff is, well, I'll let you tell Jeff about the organization he's with and a little bit about his background. But Jeff, how are you doing today?
Not too bad, Gary. I guess I'm the guy on location.
So, Jeff, why don't you just start out by telling us a little bit about yourself? I mean, you've been involved in fitness for a very long time, decades. You were an accomplished athlete. And you spent a lot of time with accomplished athletes. We've had a lot of good stories that we've shared. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, the beginning? You know, who are your influences and what got you into fitness?
Well, sports have always been my thing. Baseball, it started off football, and I was always told I was too small to participate at the level that I wanted to participate. And I was always told I had to get stronger. So that started me off into the weight room, and from there it was pretty much love at first sight. You know what I mean? I've been doing it for 30 years since, actually over 30 years, but I've been a trainer for right after high school. I became a personal trainer.
So you actually did a little semi-pro football, didn't you?
Yes, I did. 19 years overall. I actually played 21 years of football after college, but 19 years was in the minor league football, yeah.
So that's pretty amazing. I mean, we all watch, you know, professional athletes and how difficult it is even after. I mean, how many NFL players actually are around 5 years?
Yeah, usually a long career in minor league football is probably about 7 to 9 years. So after 21 and being a little bit small for the level I played, I ended up getting beat up pretty good, but it was all for love of the game.
Right, but to be able to do that for so long, I mean, fitness is key.
Yes, most definitely is, especially if you want to succeed in that league, too. I mean, granted, most of us, we do it for the love of the game. We don't get paid for it. It's all about being in shape, you know. If you're not in shape, you can just be an average player who just jumps on the field, but if you want to be one of the best.
And having fun doing it.
Oh, that's first and foremost, of course, you know. Just stepping into a gym makes my whole day better, you know, no matter what, you know. Even if it's not a good day in the gym, I still feel better when I leave.
So you and I have been around a while. We're not going to, you know, say exactly how long. But, you know, my guess is, as a young guy, you were very much influenced by, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and what he did to make the bodybuilding movement for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, Schwarzenegger, Dr. Franco Colombo, Tom Platz, those guys, they were... To be honest with you, that was the golden age. That was the best time for bodybuilders, I believe, and that's what kick-started.
So other than his, you know, sort of natural celebrity, I mean, what do you think Schwarzenegger really did that resonated with people, that helped them understand that fitness is really for everybody?
What I think a lot of people might not know about is the mental aspect that Arnold brought with it, you know. People just think, you know, they look at Arnold and they see it just a big physical brute guy, but he put, you know, 80% of it to him was all mental, and that's how he trained, and that's how we developed, you know, and that's what I try to teach people myself. It's most of it's a mental game, and if you believe in power of the mind, then you're going to succeed in bodybuilding, body shape, and whatever type of body building, you know, body lifting weight you want to do.
And this is kind of one of the reasons why Jeff and I hit it off immediately is that, you know, back in my academic days, you know, my work with people in kinesiology and biomechanics was really to address the psychological dimension. And, you know, when 20, 30 years ago, I mean, when Schwarzenegger was doing his thing and bringing that mental element in, it wasn't something that there was a lot of research on. I mean, people, athletes knew. The athletes who conquered the mental part of the game or their training, they knew. But there wasn't a lot of, you know, research out there or general understanding that this is something real. It's not magic. You know, it's not psyching yourself out, but it has, you know, really direct impact on, you know, physiologically what you can do. And, you know, really even just in the last 20 years, there's an entirely new field within human movement science that's developed called exercise psychology. Now, we've talked a little bit about sports psychology with Nathan because that's what he does, focusing mostly on young kids and helping them overcome, you know, the mental challenges of a commitment, you know, to training and exercise. But, you know, it also applies just to exercise itself. And we're talking about what does it take to get people to stick with an exercise program? I bet you've seen a lot of people who show up and 2 weeks later they're gone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first thing is people don't ease into it right off the bat. And what they do is they make themselves so sore that, of course, you don't want to come back into the gym. You don't even want to move the next day. Second is, you know, there are going to be exercises that you don't want to do, but if you want to achieve a certain goal, you have to do them. But you want to make your routine fun. And that's a big thing. It's, you know, people who come in, you know, they'll go by whatever's on the internet or whatever book they pick up and read, and they'll do those exercises. But if it's not fun for them, then why be in here? You know, that's first and foremost.
And one of the things you do to mix it up is you're always changing the exercises. I mean, there's a set routine. You have an idea of, you know, the muscle groups that you want to target and the sequence. Yep. You want to target them in a, say, a one-hour session. But you're changing the exercises every now and then, and you even refer to this concept of shocking the muscles. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, in order for your muscle to change and to either grow or to tone up, you need to have your, you know, you need to change it up every so often, especially if it's you're not getting, you know, development from the first exercise you started off with. And what, you know, that entails, you want to walk into a gym and you want your muscles to be basically asking you a question. What the hell is he doing to me now? And with that shock in the muscles right there, it's going to make them move, grow, tone. So yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't do change just for the basic factors. You know, just changing it up. I do it because there is a science involved to this. I see people walk into a gym and, you know, initially you're going to get any, you know, some kind of development. What's going to happen is it's going to level off and it's going to stay because, you know, as a trainer, I know 30 different ways how to do the exercise, where as a regular layperson, they might know one, maybe two how to do it. And that's why people don't develop, because they only know one or two ways to do the exercise.
And one of the things that Jeff is getting into is, you know, the power of really, I want to say, attention. There's a lot of ways in which the mind, you know, can come into play and you know, building up the body and developing skill. And one of them, you know, one of them is attention, you know, actually, and Jeff is great at this, right? And it actually goes back to an earlier episode when we had Larry Goldfarb, who's a movement therapist, and his specialty in movement therapy is Feldenkrais practice, which actually focuses on developing awareness of your own muscles. And in every single exercise, every single session I've had with Jeff, he's a master at this. And there is a science behind this. It's not just some magical thing, oh, if I focus on my muscles, it's going to be better. I mean, if you actually look at what's happening in the brain when somebody's paying attention to a particular part of their body, you can actually see part of the brain light up that's responsible for either sensation or movement in that part of the body. So this is real stuff. It really does matter. Attention may seem like a soft concept, but it's just as important as the amount of weight that you're lifting.
Yeah, it's, I mean, form is huge. I mean, I learned it when I was 18 years old. I mean, as you know, as a young kid just getting into it, all I knew was how to do, you know, chest and biceps, and that's where a lot of young guys do. But you know, I was throwing up very heavy weight, and I had good size arms at 18 years old. But I didn't, you know, I learned a lot on the floor, not through books and by asking questions. And I seen a guy with three times less the amount of weight that, you know, that he was using. His arms were three times as big as mine, and that set me off right there. Its form was huge. It wasn't about the weight. Don't get me wrong, weight does matter, but form is the most important thing.
people can get carried away. And actually, you know, if they get so focused on weight, you know, they can start screwing up their form, and they're actually losing awareness of how the particular muscle groups are being activated. And, you know, there's another reason why this is really important. Because Jeff and I have talked about this, and I've noticed this outside the gym. When you start becoming more aware of your muscle groups and how they're affected by different kinds of movement, you become aware of that outside the gym. You're carrying grocery bags, right, back from the store, or you're walking upstairs, you know, or you're doing it with your toes or your heels. I mean, all these little subtle differences of how you approach the activities of daily living becomes something that you can benefit from if you've got better awareness of how your muscles are working. And Jeff is, he'll specifically talk to me about this. He'll say, okay, here's how we're going to do this exercise. But it's, think about how, you know, you're carrying your grocery bags home or something you're doing. He can relate it to activities outside the gym.
Yeah, it's you know, that's the best way to explain it to somebody who doesn't have the education, like, you know, you know, to technically explain it, was you know, try to incorporate it into everyday life. You know, like, you know, if you want to do a lunge, it's, you know, it's like almost like walking up steps and everything. You always want to push off your heel, and that's when you're really in a zone, when you start thinking about every movement. You know, it's the science of movement, and you incorporate it into the gym, you know, from everyday life. So, yeah, it's like, you know, if you want to do a lunge, you're walking up the stairs, you push through your heels. If you want to do a shoulder shrug, you're holding your groceries as you're walking home. You can do shoulder shrugs on the way, you know. You can do side raises, front raises with just a grocery bag in your hand. So, yeah, I find it better if I explain it that way to people. Their form basically just falls right into place without having to tell them, oh, you need to move your body 90-degree angle and you know, things that technically of that nature. You know, people seem to take a little longer getting the exercise that way.
And ultimately, it's hard to put a lot of this stuff into words for lay people, but, you know, Jeff and I can communicate about, you know, the proper anatomical names for different movements and muscle groups. But there are little things that you could do for people who don't know the names of those muscles, right? So one of the things that Jeff does that, you know, we crack up about is, you know, like when I'm doing wide grip pull-ups, and you know, he'll tap me on the back to point out the muscle groups he actually wants, because there's a lot of ways you can do a lot of different kinds of movements, even just something as simple as a pull-up. And by tapping the muscle that he wants me to work in doing that exercise, fundamentally changes how I do the exercise, and I become aware of that muscle. We laugh, though, because sometimes, you know, he tells me stories, these guys, you know, these big guys, he's tapping on their back, and they want to, like, turn around and punch him, you know?
Yeah, you know, like, you know, I'll have, you know, when you're working a body part, usually there's a secondary body part that gets worked, and sometimes that secondary body part becomes, you know, more heavily involved, because, you know, human beings, we're visual creatures. If we don't see it, it doesn't exist, pretty much. So, case in point, you do your back. A lot of times your biceps are the secondary muscle. So a lot of guys will come to me and say that they're feeling it in their arms a lot more. So what I do is, when I tap the back, what I'm trying to do is get that mind-muscle connection. Like, if I was to punch you in the shoulder, the first thing you would think, well, you just punched me in the shoulder, you know? That's where your mind goes. So when I tap your back, you know, usually with the big guy, they're wondering why I'm tapping their back. You know, after they had just asked me to help them out with focusing just on their back. And I tell them before they want to throw that punch, when they get down, is what would they think about when I was tapping their back? And usually the answer I get is that I want you to stop tapping my damn back. And what I do is I tell them, well, think about that statement you just told me. And then they think about it for a couple of seconds, and then they realize they didn't think about their arms the whole time. And that's where, you know, like I said, my muscle connection, that's what I want. I want you to be in tune, you know, in tune with that, becoming one with your body, you know what I mean? And that's where things like that help.
And the other thing I found is, you know, when you become aware of, you know, individual muscle groups or pairs of muscle groups working together to do a particular movement, it connects to things that don't seem like they should be connected. So a lot of times, you know, Jeff will have me do particular stretching exercises after a particular movement, or in between a set, so that I'm ready to get the most out of that next set. But, you know, it's it to do the stretch, you can actually, you're aware of the muscle, you're aware you're working in a different way. You can feel how it's being replenished with blood. I mean, he even points out things like, well, you know, you see these guys posing in front of the mirrors, and some of them really are posing in front of mirrors, but we are visual creatures.
Yep.
And there's a reason for doing that other than just posing, right? You can actually, again, you can see your form, you can see the muscles you're working. The flexing is not just about, you know, seeing your muscles pop out. It's about, you know, forcing blood into those muscles. You want to say a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I'll take any advantage I can get, any slight advantage I can get, you know, because, you know, it does get competitive out there sometimes. But, it's like when you're doing a certain body part, say you're doing your chest, and in between sets I'll flex for 7 seconds, because when you tear your muscle tissue apart, you know, when you rest is actually when it grows or when it tones itself up. And so while it's repairing itself, you want more of a blood flow in there. So if you're flexing, you know, you're going to get more blood in there, and it's going to repair itself even better for you. So like I said, it's no big, huge advantage, but it's a little one, and I'll take anyone I can get. And I try to make it look like, so I don't look like one of those bodybuilders in the mirror that I love myself, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, so but I'll get it done without too many people making comments about it.
Yeah, and it's hard not to be self-conscious about it, but again, when you understand what's going on with your body, right, so it's more than somebody just giving you a list of exercises to do. It's more than even them coaching you on your form. It's about you really being aware of your body. When you do that, you know, all these things that might seem, that you might misinterpret, become important, really important to do. So, and I'll tell you, in this gym, there are some men and women who are very buff, you know, and definitely are great physical specimens, but there are a lot of other people who are just, you know, average everyday people, some people even who are, you know, struggling with being overweight. But the atmosphere that Jeff and his colleagues create in this gym, by this psychological approach, seems to me like, I don't see anybody who's intimidated. I see it's a very comfortable atmosphere, and people are really just all excited about helping each other get the most out of what they can do.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I've worked in a gym, I'll talk to 90% of the people in the gym. The other 10% I say hi to, at least. I want to make it, you know, almost like you're walking into your living room in your own house. I want to make you feel comfortable. If you feel, the more comfortable you feel walking into a place, the more you're going to get accomplished, you know, the more you feel empowered to you know, try different things too on top of it. And, you know, I call it like a little family inside the gym. I know, now don't get me wrong, not everybody gets, you know, is likes each other, you know, that's pretty impossible to get that accomplished. But, you know, everybody respects each other. They're more comfortable asking each other if they can help each other out, or they can, you know, work in with each other on a certain exercise. So, you know, when you have that type of, you know, atmosphere in a gym, it just makes the experience a lot better, you know.
And you can be competitive in all kinds of ways. I mean, so, you know, I may not be able to have a body like one of the, you know, sort of the amazing people here have been working out, you know, for years. But I can definitely compete with them on body awareness. So, you know, you play whatever game you need to play, but it's the point is it's really important for health. It's not just, you know, how you look. And I think the way Jeff is approaching it is really the right way. You know, we're probably going to have other conversations like this, you know, from the gym, talk to some of the other personal trainers. Just before we check out here, I just want to tell you again that, you know, it's Jeff McCarthy, and he's a personal trainer. He works independently. He also works as part of Foundation Fitness, which is a group of personal trainers.
We actually just got a new company just came in, so I actually work for a new company. It's called Thrive now.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Thrive is the company. Look for them. Do they have a website?
I believe they do.
Okay. So we'll get you that information later, and also right now, Jeff and the other personal trainers are working out of a gym called Foundation Rockin' Fitness, which is right down in Government. Right down, it's two locations, and right now we're right in Government Center. You can't miss us because, you know, two of the walls are all glass. Is there anything else you want to say? Maybe to get people out here, you know, what they should be looking for? Hey, where's the other location?
The other location's in Porter Square in Cambridge. And,
oh, okay.
Like I said, the one other thing I like to usually add to people, I'm a little different. Our trainers are all very good here. I'm a little different than most trainers. I usually tell people if they listen to exactly and do exactly everything I tell them to do, they will get the body that they want. Otherwise, I will give them their money back, or I will give them a new workout program. I'm pretty one of the few trainers that will offer that and extend that to people.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, and that's 30 years of confidence speaking there, and commitment. And, you know, for Jeff, it doesn't matter, you know, you can be any body type walking, man or woman walking in the door here, and he's going to do a great job with you. And you know, if you can get Jeff, that's great. If you can't get Jeff, hopefully this program today has told you a little bit about what you'd be looking for in a personal trainer, and also maybe get you to think a little bit more seriously about the connection between mind and body.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is with technology, the way it is now, I usually tell people, I mean, before it was a privilege to be in a gym. Now it's a necessity for people to be in a gym with technology the way it is. And like I said, our lifestyles are very, very sedentary right now. And so it's almost like you have to be at a gym. And like I said, with our trainers here, what we do is we're a little different. Like I said, most trainers, we teach people. We tell them why and what they're doing it for. So they almost, by the time they leave us, if they decide they want to leave us, they almost become personal trainers themselves. And that's what I like about our company. We don't keep any secrets like most training
amazing
companies. And you know, we want you to have that knowledge so you can walk around just as if you're training yourself and show other people.
What you just heard there is the words of a teacher. And that's a great note to end this episode on. Jeff, you know, thanks so much for joining us today for the first on-location episode of Science to Business.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate you having me on.
Take care, man.
All right. That's pretty good. I like that.